Well, I'm so glad you're joining us. We're starting a brand new series today here at our locations. And for those of you watching online, we're really glad that we're together. And the series is all about stress. And we're calling it Stressless. Not that you would be stressless. I don't know that that's possible. Actually, some stress is actually good. But we want you to stress less. And most of us really struggle in that area. I was thinking back to some seasons in my life when I was pretty stressed. Any of you get married recently? Any newlyweds here? Like, no. Okay, well, anyway, all right. I'm sure somebody got married somewhere, but I was thinking back to our wedding night, my wife and I, and we had an incredible time at our ceremony and then the reception. You know, usually it's a high-stress environment for the bride and groom, but for us, we actually had a blast. We had a lot of fun, and so I was thinking back to that day. And as the evening went on, you know, guests started to slowly filter out, but the party went late. We were like 12:30, still a lot of people, and we thought, okay, it's finally time to go. So we kind of danced our last dance, and we were on our way to the car, and, you know, you're heading out to your honeymoon with your new bride. I was so excited. My wife Tony and I were so excited. And I get into the car, and I'm looking for the hotel room key because I had set that up ahead of time. And all of a sudden, I can't find the hotel room key. Now, that's a little bit of an issue because we got married in a small town. We actually got married in Midland. And like at that time, all the hotels were closed at 11 p.m. So you can't exactly go to the front desk and like, can you get me a replacement key? Like, they were all closed. So here it is, 12:31 in the morning, and I am like searching around for our hotel room key, and I cannot find it. I start looking around in our car. It's not in any of the compartments. And I said to Tony, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to do. I can't find the key to our hotel room. And she goes, well, what are we going to do? And I'm like, well, we can stay at my parents' house. You know, that's a that's a great, great way to spend your wedding night. And like, I was stumped and everything was closed. Everything was closed. We could always sleep in the car. You know, there's another option. And she's like, boy, did I ever choose well in this guy, right? It's what she's thinking to herself. So I didn't know what to do. And then I thought, well, maybe, because we were sort of headquartered out of my parents' place. I thought maybe I left it at their house because I remembered that the groomsmen and I, we went and washed first thing in the morning all the vehicles that were going to be used in the wedding that day. And so at 1:30 in the morning, we show up at my parents' place. I go down into the laundry room to find the pair of jeans I was wearing that day. And I'm like, please God, let there be the key. And sure enough, in my front right pocket of the jeans I was wearing that morning, I found the honeymoon key to our suite. So, you know, I finally at 2:30 in the morning walk her across the threshold, and you know, that's the only part of the story I'm telling, okay? So you're not getting any more. It stops right there. But man, that was a high-stress environment, and that's what happens. I mean, some of you are already stressed this morning. You fought in the car on the way over here and then had to put your church face on, right? You know, it's like, great, things are great. Shut up, kids. But anyway, so we're stressed. We're stressed. In fact, you know, it feels like stress is on the rise. And we look at some general data, and then you gave us a ton of data. I think 350 of you answered a survey about stress, worry, and anxiety that we sent out about a month ago. And thank you for that. We're going to show you a little bit like a picture of how you're feeling and then some general statistics as well. Did you know that generally in Canada, 45% of millennials say their stress level has risen in the last year? So basically, if you're under 40, late 30s into your late teens, early 20s, about almost half of you are saying your stress level is up over what it used to be. Now, my generation, Gen X, 39% of Gen Xers say their stress has risen in the last year. So 4 out of 10, stress is up. Then we polled you, like I said, and thank you for all of you who participated in that online survey. It's not scientific, but it is fascinating. And I think when you get over 300 people responding, you get a pretty good snapshot into what you're struggling with. And that has made this series better. So thank you so much. From time to time, we do that. We ask you as we get ready to engage a subject, you know, what are your particular issues? Because even as a preacher, I want to be able to connect with what you're actually struggling with. The Bible has timeless principles, and every week we're going to unpack Scripture's timeless principles. But I really want to be able to connect it with what you're actually struggling with. So here's what you told us. 76% of you who responded to the survey say you worry all of the time or some of the time. Half would say all of the time, about another quarter, it was half who said they worry somewhat, And a quarter of you said all the time, only 24% of you would say you don't really worry. Now, for me, I would probably be in the 24%. Now, I said that once in a service, and people who worried all the time got mad at me and sent me emails, so now I'm worried about that. But I'm generally not a worrier, but only 24% would say you're generally not worriers. And then I wanted to drill down, and I'm like, okay, well, what do you worry about? What stresses you? What stresses you and your friends? And again, I was surprised because some of the things that stress me don't seem to stress you, and some of the things that stress you were widely shared. And so I want to share the top five things that you identified as your worries statistically. Number one, and this is really fascinating, letting people down. And that's great because it means that you care, like you actually care in a healthy way, that you don't want to let people down, but your number one worry, your number one stress, your number one anxiety is that you're going to let people down. And maybe for some of you, that's your family. Maybe you're like, you know, we made promises. I don't know if they're going to be able to keep them. Maybe it's at work. You're afraid of letting people down. Maybe it's your friends. You're afraid of letting your friends down or people who are counting on you. That was your number one worry. Number two, closely related, what other people think of you. It's just like, okay, I'm just worried, you know, that I'm going to disappoint you, but I'm also worried what you think of me. I'm worried about my reputation. I'm worried about my colleagues, my coworkers, my family, my parents, my kids, my professor, my teacher, my coach. Like, I'm worried about what other people think of me. Number three, personal failure. Do you see a pattern here? It's like, what if it all falls apart? What if the job, the career, what if it doesn't work? What if I can't pull it together financially? What if you know, that thing I was hoping to do with my life doesn't work out? What if I just turn out to be a failure? Those are your top three worries. Number four, I was surprised actually this wasn't higher on the list. Money. Number four was money. I mean, money is a major stressor, particularly here in Canada. Canadians seem to be consumed with money, and it's a struggle sometimes. And it's ironic because we live in one of the most affluent nations on planet Earth, but we all worry about money. And then number five, my kids. You worry about your kids, and we have a lot of young families, apparently none of whom got married recently, but we have a lot of young families, and you're worried about your kids. In fact, you're so worried about your kids, one of the weeks in this series, we're going to do all about your kids. We're just going to look what Scripture says about parenting and about kids, and I'm actually going to interview someone who attends our Aurelia campus, Rob Meter. He's a pediatrician who spends half of his time working with kids who are diagnosed with anxiety or depression, and he's going to have some general tips, and so we're going to talk about that in detail. But those are your top five worries, and I'm looking at this as a guy who doesn't worry as much as maybe the average person. And, you know, I've got to apply this to myself. So I was talking to my wife about it this week. And I said, you know, what do you think stresses me out? She had opinions really quickly. In fact, she made a list. So I asked permission. She said, yeah, you can share this list. She gave me this list. Like, these are all the things that stress you out. Apparently, deadlines. Like, this message is actually due on Sunday, okay? So deadlines stress me out. Clutter really stresses me out. So if things are disorganized or cluttering, I kind of freak out around that. None of my list overlaps with your list, which is probably a problem. I need to go counseling or something. I don't know. Number three, look at this. This is really serious. No Wi-Fi, no cell signal. All right, that totally freaks me out if I am not connected. And then she said, how about this? Slow-moving cars. I'm like, yeah. All right, and then she said, no, not slow-moving cars, slow-moving anything. Anything that moves slow stresses you out. And then she also had to add this. She said, 1 inch of snow on the driveway. Yep. That completely, like, I got to get that off. Those apparently are my really superficial top stressors in my life. Anyway, we're going to think about stress. And over the course of this series, I'm going to use four words fairly interchangeably. Now, I'm well aware that they have different medical definitions and they operate differently, but they're kind of cousins. They're all from the same family, and they're the negative emotions that you feel in response to life. So I want to give just a slight delineation between four words. We're going to talk about stress, anxiety, fear, and worry. Stress, anxiety, fear, and worry, which are all kind of cousins. Now, stress almost always, if you look at the definition, has an external trigger, all right? You have an example. exam on Wednesday, you are stressed. Theoretically, if it's stress, when the exam is over, you are not stressed. Or at least maybe then you get your mark and then you're stressed again, okay? So then you're stressed, but it has an external trigger. You got a big family reunion and you're nervous about it. Or you got a wedding coming up, or you've got something going. You got a big car repair bill, or you know that the furnace needs to be replaced and you're stressed about it. Or your kids aren't doing well, but there's kind of a discernible cause, and you know what that cause is, that sort of stress. Then there's fear. Now, fear is similar, but it is an external threat, and usually it's a bigger reaction. Like, for example, a bear is chasing you. Okay, that is fear. And it's very tangible, it's very specific, and usually fear is a deeper level. Maybe you are afraid of public speaking. Maybe you are afraid of that presentation you have to give. Maybe you're afraid of what's going to happen if somebody finds out. That's fear. It's an external threat. Now, then there's two other terms, anxiety and worry. Anxiety has an uncertain trigger. You're not exactly sure. Stress, it's like, you know it's the big meeting on Wednesday. You know it's your neighbor. You know it's whatever. Anxiety, it's kind of like, I don't really know. I'm just anxious, and I can't really figure it out. I don't know what it is. There's even a clinical diagnosis these days of generalized anxiety disorder. And you're just not sure. And in fact, when we asked you in the poll, in the survey, what do you struggle with most? Stress was number one, anxiety was number two. And it seems to almost be in the water supply, right? You can't exactly figure it out, but you just have a lot to be anxious about. Or maybe it's multiple stressors, but you're not really sure. It's an uncertain trigger. And then there's worry. And worry, I would characterize for this series as this, an internalization of an external problem. An internalization of an external problem. That's where you kind of know, all right, I've defined my stress, I've defined my fear, or I'm just anxious, and now I'm going to worry about it. And so it's kind of a decision. And some of you who worry would say, no, it's not a decision. Okay, but it's a habit, and we're going to show you what to do with your stress, what to do with your anxiety, what to do with your worry, what to do with your fear over the course of this five-part series. But it's an internalization of an external problem. It's ruminating over it. It's like, I gotta. It's attempting to control what you don't think you can control. Now, I want to say one more thing before we really dive in and see a little bit more and then jump into Scripture and talk about what we're going to wrap up this week. And that is, this is not, like, some of you have things that you should see your doctor about. Some of you, you know, I'm not a doctor. I play one on TV, but I'm not a doctor. All right, so I'm not pretending to give you any medical advice, any counseling advice. I'm just trying to take life and look at it from Scripture's perspective. So that's what this is about. Some of you are to the point where your anxiety is interfering with your ability to work, your ability to live. You should have a conversation with a counselor and possibly a medical doctor about that. Some of you are depressed. I can't solve your depression in a message. You should have a conversation with trusted friends, with a counselor, with your small group, with a doctor about that. And sometimes medication can help us in these circumstances. So what I'm talking about in this series, and if that's you, I would encourage you to get help. In fact, today at our campuses, we have a list that we keep around at all times of counselors that you can go and see. These are Christian counselors who have great practices, and just drop by Next Steps kiosk. We'll have them there for you. No stigma attached to it. I've gone to counseling for hundreds of hours. It's incredibly helpful, incredibly helpful. And it's helped me overcome some fear and stress and anxiety and worry and issues that I think God wanted to deal with in my life. So for some of you, you may need to go get treatment beyond just, oh, this is helpful advice. Please go get that treatment. Please go see your doctor. Please go see your counselor. If it is not at the point where, you know, it's interfering with your life or leading to an addiction or anything like that, this is just like generalized everyday stress, anxiety, fear, and worry. That's what we're going to dive into in this series. And I hope it'll be helpful for everybody, but some of you will need a little more care than what a series can give. So I then asked you, okay, because in the survey, we want to know, like, give us some specific examples. And I just want to share a smattering of what you shared with us, and then we're going to dive into the Scripture. So one student wrote this: over the past year, I've been worrying a lot about school. I am completing a master's in biology, and I keep having problems with getting it finished. Understood. I mean, whether you're in school or not, some of us, it's just like, yeah, I've been working on this project for years. It was supposed to be a one-year project. Maybe it's a home renovation that just goes on and on and on. I also worry if God didn't want me to start this in the first place. It's a good question. What does God want us to do? We're going to talk about that next week in part two of the series. One woman said this. She said, my coworkers aren't very nice, and it makes for a difficult work environment. Some of you, you're really stressed at work. I'm looking for a new job, but worry, I'm going to have to stay. Also, same person, I'm a single mom with kids and worry about never finding a godly man who really loves me and wants to marry me. And then she says, and this is something that a lot of you identified, I am afraid to be lonely. I get that. Someone else wrote this. Worry probably zaps 80% of my total energy. If that's the case, you probably should go see a doctor, go see a counselor, talk to your small group about it. I mean, if it's zapping that much of your energy, that is a significant issue. Someone else wrote this, and I love this phrase, my worryometer. Isn't that great? My worryometer increases by the closeness of the relationship that I am worried about. I think that's true for all of us, right? The more we care, the more we're tempted to worry, be stressed, be anxious about something. And in a sense, that's a good thing. Like fear and anxiety, they have a place. If you're being chased by a bear, that's good. If your kids are in the ditch, if your parents are struggling, if you've got somebody you care about, if your spouse is battling an addiction, you should be concerned. But there's a level at which, and we don't always know where it is, you've got to hand it off. You've got to say, okay, this is enough concern. This is a healthy level of concern, a healthy level of care. Now it is moving beyond the level of healthy. But I think this is very true. Your worryometer does increase by how much you care about the people and how close they are to you. And that's understandable. Someone else said, worry is like a gnawing virus that sits within me and tears me apart and takes away the strength I need to keep going. And that's the downside. It's zapping you of the life that Jesus wants to bring you. I really believe Jesus came to bring us life. Not just life forever, but life in this life. And he wants to speak into your worry, your anxiety, your fear. And every week we'll look at the scripture to talk about that. Someone else said, I worry that I am not strong enough to continue or worthy of God's love to help me push past the worry and anxiety. Help. That's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to help. And it's so interesting because you're worried about not receiving God's love, but like God's love is unconditional. God's love is actually there, but worry is preventing you. Do you see the irony from receiving it? So what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say actually about worry? And the Bible has an awful lot to say about it. It has a lot of teaching, and you can sum it up this way. All right? It's simply this. The Jesus' words. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. Okay, that's it. That's our whole series. So we're done. Some of you read that and you're like, really? That's it? Do not worry? Jesus was pretty clear. Don't worry. Don't worry. Over and over again in Scripture, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. What are we most of the time? We're afraid. Every time God shows up, it's like, do not be afraid. Every time there's some situation that requires courage, do not be afraid. When it comes to worry, Jesus is really clear. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry. Now, fortunately, I put the period there. There's a lot more that he had to say about it. So let's look at it in context. In fact, we're going to look at Jesus' teaching on worry today, and then we're going to come back to it to wrap up the series on part five, because today is probably going to raise more questions than it answers, and you're going to get some homework to do, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, whether this is brand new for you. I think it's a human condition. So just listen to what Jesus has to say, because it sounds really comforting, but if you really understand it, it's very perplexing. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Now, what's fascinating is we hear that today. Let's go back. We hear that today, and we're like, okay, I'm still worried about my life. I'm worried about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink. But if you go back 2,000 years and you look at what their level of living really was, if you go back into first century Palestine, I mean, it is what we would call developing world conditions. It wasn't a question of whether I'm going to eat, you know, a salad or a burger for lunch. It was a question of, are we going to have lunch? Are we going to have dinner? Most of the laborers Jesus was speaking to were day laborers. They were people who literally, like, you've got a job, and I know you're on contract, and the contract is up, or, you know, everybody's nervous, maybe I'll get declared redundant or surplus. I get that. I get the economy. But in Jesus' day, that was every day for most people. Every day, there were a ton of day laborers. It's like, well, I got a job on Tuesday, but I don't know about Wednesday, and I certainly don't know about Thursday, and if I don't have a job, I don't eat. If I don't get a job, my family goes hungry. If I don't get a job, we're going to lose the house. We'll be lucky to even have a house. I mean, it was subsistence living. And for a handful of you, it's probably at that level. It is like, I don't actually know whether I'm going to eat. But the reality is, for the vast majority of us, we pretty much know we're going to eat. You pretty much do, but you still worry. You still worry. In fact, maybe you thought there was a line for your worry at one point. When you were a kid, you were like, oh, you know, one day when I get out of school and I have a job and I have a house, then I'm not going to worry. And what you've discovered is that the more you have, the more you worry. And it's like, no matter how much you have, no matter how much money you have, no matter how much food you have, no matter how much comfort you have, you still worry. And Jesus says, well, don't. Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. I mean, again, it was a case where, and this was true even 150, 200 years ago, you go into a closet, people might have two items of clothing. In Jesus' day, you might have one or two items of clothing. And we're like, no, my problem is I need another closet. But I still worry. I still worry. And Jesus says, don't. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Yeah, but I don't know why, but I'm still worried. I'm still worried about clothes. I'm still worried about food. And then Jesus says, hey, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you're like, okay, you don't get it, Jesus, all right? Because I'm worried about retirement. Do you know how bad pensions are these days? You know, almost nobody has a pension. In fact, many pension plans could be bankrupt by the time we retire. Like, I don't know whether I'm going to, like, what do you mean reap or sow? And really, you're comparing me to birds? Seriously? Birds? And Jesus, no, look at birds. Have you ever really thought about birds? Like, they don't worry much. What are they doing? In the spring, they build a nest. They just grab some string and some straw, and they grab little bits of wire, and they kind of build the walls up high, and it's like, well, this is our house, right? And then they have kids. You ever study bird parenting? It's like one day, parents wake up. It's like, oh, it's time. Out of the house. Bloop. They force them out. It's like, good luck with that flying thing. Kids like, ah! Bird parenting. Jesus says, look at them. They're not worried. By the way, that was part three of the series on your kids. Just throw them out of the house, you know, one day. Plop. He says, look at them. And you're like, well, I know there are birds that die of the cold, right? What about cats? They kill birds. Right? That's the worry. Jesus said, just look at them. Look at them. And then he says, are you not much more valuable than they? Bird, you. Yeah, probably. If you go right back to the beginning of the Bible, it says when God created everything, he finished with humanity. And everything else he said was good, but when he made you, he said it was very good. Jesus says, of course you're of more value than a bird. So what are you worried about? Then he says, can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Well, no. See, Jesus is annoying in this part because he's asking us a question we know the answer to. And in fact, what medicine is discovering is that the more we worry, the less we live. That stress is actually a killer. It's got physical impact. That anxiety actually causes medical conditions that the more you worry, and the more anxious you are and the more stress you allow to stay in you, the shorter your life usually is. And he says, so you think you're going to make it better. You actually make it worse. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? Next verse. See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. He's like, and think about that. Spring comes. The snow melts, the brown grass starts to get little green sprigs, and soon the meadows are abloom. Like you didn't plant it, you didn't create it, you can't take credit, and they're magnificent. And he said, look, I'm going to compare this to human beings. I tell you that not even Solomon, okay, Solomon lived 1,000 years before Jesus. He was one of the wisest and richest kings in the history of the nation of Israel. People literally in his day came from around the world. He was a multi-billionaire. I mean, he might have been the contemporary equivalent of a trillionaire. He had everything. And he said, look, the guy had everything in all of his splendor. He wasn't dressed like one of these. If that is how God, trust your heavenly Father, clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, how much more will he not much more clothe you? And then look what he calls you and me. You of little faith. That your willingness to stay stressed, stay anxious, stay worried, stay afraid is somehow a spiritual condition. That, Carrie, when you're unduly worrying, when you're unduly stressed, I mean, if a bear is chasing you, that's a good thing. Be stressed, get out of the way. But then don't wake up every day going, what if there's a bear? You know? So especially when you're in a hotel or whatever, never mind. Anyway, so do not worry. There it is again. Do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Which is what we do all day. Even for those of us who would say we're Christians, we do it. And then he says, look, you're supposed to have this figured out. I'll just talk to the church for a second for Christians. All right, if you're not a Christian, you're off the hook. He says, look at this, for the pagans, the people who don't even believe, they run after all these things. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. You guys should have this mastered. But seek first, we'll come back to this at the end, seek first his kingdom, because this is the answer, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. See, what you're afraid of is, if I stop worrying about this, God is going to take it away. God won't come through. Therefore, here it is, third time. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And isn't that true? So it leaves us with this question. Well, why am I so stressed? Why am I so stressed? And some of you have been trying to figure that out. Why am I so stressed? Why is this anxiety growing? Why is the fear deepening? Why is the worry incessant? Why doesn't it go away? And even as a non-worrier, I worry at times. I'm stressed at times. I get that. Well, this is where I want to wind up today. Your stress, anxiety, and worry reveal things. They reveal things. And right now, you may not know. You're like, I don't know. If we were to have a conversation one-on-one afterwards, I'm like, and you're like, I'm so anxious. I would ask you, okay, why are you anxious? You're like, I don't know. And you'll point to two or three things, but you're like, I don't know. I don't know why this is building up in me. I don't know what it is. I don't know why I worry so much. Well, I think your stress and anxiety and worry reveal things. In fact, I believe your stress reveals what your mind conceals, because some of you are stumped. And this is what you've said. Well, I'm just a worrier. I'm just an anxious person. I'm just somebody who's always stressed. That's just the way I am. That's the way God made me. No. That is not the way God made you. But you know what? It's as though your stress, your anxiety, and your worry is attached to something. And you don't know what it is. And you're like, I don't know. It's just like every time there's something there, but I don't know what's there. Your stress reveals, if you follow your fears, if you follow your anxiety, if you follow your worry, it will reveal something. It's as though everything, if this is your stress, if you follow it, you'll discover what's there. And that's what I want you to do this week. Because your stress reveals. And like sometimes I'm really stressed and my wife, Tony, she'll say to me, why are you so upset? Why are you so worried? I'm like, I don't know. And I can point to one or two things, but I can't really figure it out. And if you are chronically worrying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to figure out what's attached to your worry. And I want you to pray about it. If you're a Christian, I really want you to pray about it. If you're not a Christian, I want you to try praying about it. Like try it. See if it works. I think it works. and say, okay, what is at the end of this? Why? What is at the end of my worry? What is at the end of my fear? What is at the end of my stress? Like, what is it? I don't know. And I think if you pray about it and you really start to look into it, and maybe you'll sit down with a counselor, maybe you'll sit down with a friend, maybe you'll sit down with a small group, maybe you'll sit down with your spouse, and you really start, like it was so easy for Tony to figure out, just in a fun way, what I stress over. You go, okay, what's at the end of my rope? What's at the end of my rope? And see, if you just follow that this week, if you start to follow that, there'll be some surprises. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, it's what other people think of me. Do I really look like that? Is that how I really come across? Is that what I sound like? You ever hear sound of your own voice? Is that what do people at work think of me? What do people at school think of me? What do my friends think of me? What do my family think of me? You know, it's so ironic because as I was working through this and I looked at your top stressors, I thought, yeah, I don't really worry what people think about me. And then as I was preparing for this, I'm like, oh, there's an exception. It's not like I don't care. It's just like I don't spend a lot of time thinking that. And then finally, as I was in the home stretch getting ready for this week, it's like, oh, yes, I do. You know where it happens? Right here. Right here. And if I really followed the end of my rope, if I really was honest about what's at the end of my rope, what I worry about when other people think of me, sometimes, and this is like, talk to preachers, this happens, talk to public speakers. Sometimes if I don't address it and confess it, I will worry more about what you think of me than what you think of God. That naturally, I'll just be like, I just want them to really, you know, laugh at my jokes or think that was good or think that was clever. That's not my job. My job is to lead you into the presence of Christ. My job is actually to make God's word known in this generation. My job is actually to get out of the way enough that God can speak to you. And you'll be surprised what you find. If you start to chase down and like, what is at the end? And you're not going to like it. When I look at that, I'm like, really? I've been doing this for decades? And if I'm not careful, that's where I still end up? Yep. Yep. Or maybe it's money. Maybe you're afraid about money. And you're like, well, I don't know about my RSPs, and I don't know whether I'll ever be able to retire, and I don't know how we're going to put our kids through school, and I don't really know how we're going to, you know, make rent. I don't know how we're going to make our mortgage payment. What if interest rates go up? We bought a lot of house at 3%. What happens? And God says, well, that's what's there. You know what sometimes shows up here? Idols. Things you worship instead of God. And maybe money is not in terms of fear. Maybe money is in terms of success. Maybe for you, money is like, well, you know, I got money in the bank. It's just not enough. I need more. I need another zero in front of the decimal. I need to be number one in my field. I need to be number one in... What's at the end of your rope? Maybe it's family. Maybe it's family. We'll talk about social media and how online life has increased our anxiety or whether it has. And you look at Instagram and everybody's life is so perfect and so amazing. And, you know, you're scrolling through what your friends are up to and there they are. You know, they're forever, but you're not. You thought you were forever and it's not forever. And, you know, they're expecting and you've been wanting to expect. You've been trying to have a baby, but you can't have a baby. And you're like, ah. What's at the end of your rope? See, today, before you head out or as you head out, you're going to get a piece of rope, your rope. And this week, what I want you to do is I want you to ask yourself every day and to pray about it. If you would pray about it, pray about it. When I prayed about it, I didn't like what God showed me. He's like, you thought you had nailed this. You haven't even come close. What's at the end of your rope? And why is it there? Why is it there? Why is it there? Why is it there? Because you know what should be at the end of this rope? You know what should be at the end of this rope? And we'll show you how to get there at the end of the series. God should be at the end of this rope. If God is at the end of this rope, then every time you pull it, sorry, family, every time you pull it, you get God. But now every time you pull your stress, anxiety, because you're going to have stress, you're going to have anxiety, you're going to have problems. But now every time you pull it, you just get that. Or you don't even get to the point of diagnosis and you're like, I don't know what that is. It bothers me. What's at the end of your rope? Why is it there? What is it about money? What is it? Is it security? What is it about the guy meeting him? What is it about success? What is it about what other people think of you? What is it? Why are you putting yourself in God's place? Why are you doing that? Those are tough conversations. But why is it there? Why is it there? So you're going to get a piece of rope. I just want you to ask every day, God, what's at the end of my rope? And then when he shows you, ask yourself, why is it there? Why is it there? And if you're not sure what's at the end of your rope, ask somebody close to you. Ask your family. Ask a friend. Talk to a counselor. Talk to your small group. What's at the end of my rope? Why is it there? Why is it there? Because your stress reveals what your mind conceals. And right now, you're not 100% sure. I don't know what that stress is. I don't know what that anxiety is. I don't know. I kind of know, but I don't really know. And now you're like, I don't think I want to know. You do want to know. Because if you get to the bottom of it, great things happen. So this week, it's real simple. Pray that God would help you see what's at the end of your rope. And then next week, we're going to come back and look at what we can do about it. Let's pray. Father, in a few minutes, we're going to be holding a rope in our hands. And I just pray that you would show us what's at the end of it for us. And there may be some predictable things, but there'll probably be some surprises. God, I'm surprised, sometimes shocked, that after doing this for so long, sometimes I can be more concerned about myself. It just sneaks up. Forgive me. Forgive me. People want to see you. They want to see you. God, help us to see what is at the end of our anxiety, what is at the end of our stress, what is at the end of our fear, what's at the end of our worry. And then when we look at it, just say, well, why? Why? Can't we trust you? Maybe we don't know how to trust you, but help us over the course of these next few weeks to learn to trust you. If you told us there actually is no reason to worry. And maybe sometimes we think in the back of our mind, you've got the whole world in your hands, but we're like, then why does our world look like this? God, help us to drill down on issues like that. And this week, I pray you would give us the insight to figure out what is at the end of our rope and why is it there. In Jesus' name, amen.